Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel. Last week, we introduced a new teaching series called The Power of Eight. Eight basic truths about Jesus Christ that contain the power to produce change, to transform human hearts. And we're glad to bring this new study to you. It's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are talking about the eight essential truths every Christian needs to know. These are foundational truths. These are the basics, the essentials. And this is where we get it wrong so often, or we don't pay enough attention to what Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I personally think that's why so many Christians are anemic, why they struggle to live fruitful, productive Christian lives, because they don't understand what Christ has accomplished. They receive him, and then they say, now what am I supposed to do, instead of getting to know him? So we want to spend some time looking at these essentials. Last week, as Bob, you mentioned, we opened the series. And the most important truth is the truth about Jesus. Who is Jesus? You know, the most compelling question that's ever been asked was asked by Jesus to his disciples, who do you say that I am? And people have been trying to answer that question for 2,000 years. It's interesting, guys. Almost every year, either Time or maybe National Geographic or Newsweek, one of the major publications, magazines like that, has an issue, and the front cover has some picture of Jesus, and the question always is, who is Jesus? Yeah. And the latest scholar or something has uncovered something new to give more insight into who this Jesus may have been and what he was really like. Well, the Word of God is really clear on who yeah. Jesus is, and I think we have a reliable source. So last week we looked at some passages where Jesus claimed to be God. He never said those exact words, but how he said it certainly was very clear to his listeners.
Yes.
The religious leaders of the day picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because he, a mere man, was claiming to be equal with God the Father. So they heard him loud and clear. This week we want to take another look at Jesus, but we want to look at him through his humanity and the fact that he is the Messiah. Now, when Jesus asked that question, who do you say that I am? Peter stood up and he declared, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he made two statements about Jesus. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one, the Messiah. So Jesus was the one whom the Old Testament talked about, prophesied about. And they saw him, they looked in his face, and they recognized him as the person the Old Testament was telling them about. So so he made that statement, you are the Messiah, and then you are the Son of the living God. What does that Son of the living God mean? That he was God in essence, God in nature, co-equal with God the Father, co-equal with God the Spirit. So we see here kind of the humanity of Jesus and the deity of Jesus. So last week we talked about the deity of Jesus, and certainly the apostles confirmed that fact in their writings. John, for example, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's an assertion of fact concerning Jesus's deity. We see Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and in Romans chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, and we see the writer of Hebrews saying that Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father, and all echoing Jesus' words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we see very clearly in the Word of God that Jesus is God, but he came and he lowered himself. He became one of us. He inhabited a body that God prepared for him, and in that body he fulfilled the role of being Messiah.
Yes.
And that's exciting, isn't it, Richard?
Well, it is, and it's absolutely necessary. I mean, if Jesus were just God, as if that wouldn't be enough, if that's all he were, then humanity would have been lost.
Yeah.
But God said, no, we're going to save them, and in order to do that, we're going to figure out a way to separate ourselves in a way. We don't know how that worked. And Jesus is going to become human. And he is going to live the human life the way human life was intended to be lived. Mm-hmm. And so we've got fully God and fully man, who is the one point of meeting between the two, humanity and divinity, and makes it all possible for us to be saved. Right.
And that gives us a clue as to what's going to happen to us. Mm-hmm. So Jesus Christ, being fully God, is going to come and live in us who are fully human. Mm-hmm. And so we have that connection there. And it's all of God and all of us type of thing. So it was God, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human. And as this human, he was the Messiah. Yeah. And we want to take a look today as to what exactly that meant. Well, first, let's look at a couple of passages in John 1:41. Andrew says this: he found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." So Andrew encountered Jesus. He went and found Simon Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah." So they were looking for the Messiah. Mm-hmm. They were hoping that the Messiah would come in their generation during their day. And when Jesus showed up, Simon and Andrew recognized him for who he was. He was the Messiah. Now we see later on a story of Jesus in Samaria. And Jews didn't go through Samaria in that day because there was no love between those two groups. And yet Jesus and his disciples marched through Samaria. And there was the story where Jesus went to a well and he met a woman, a Samaritan woman, and they had this conversation. And the woman said to him, and this is recorded in John 4:25-26, the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Yeah. So not only did Jesus Christ claim to be God, claim to be equal with God the Father, he made the claim that he was the Messiah. He was the awaited one. The prophets pointed to him, and he's saying, "I'm the guy." And this Samaritan woman went back to her village and said, "Come and see this Jesus." And everyone believed. The whole village believed. Mm-hmm. They recognized him for who he is. So Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, and he came to do something on our behalf. So this Jesus, who was fully God, who was in the beginning with God, entered into time. We call that the incarnation. He became one of us, and he had a job to do as one of us, and that was to carry out the plan for the Messiah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that plan after we come back.
Well, it's Basic Gospel, friends, and this, of course, is session 2 of our new series called The Power of 8. As we move forward each week, we'll be building the archive where you can review each session or catch up if you miss any of the sessions along the way. You'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. It's a rich resource, and you can share it with your family and friends anytime. And again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. And all we ask of you is to prayerfully consider supporting Basic Gospel as we continue to reach out with this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ every day of the week. And you can donate anytime, now or anytime, at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Now let's continue with session 2 of The Power of 8. And again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. So we're talking about Jesus Christ, and he is the foundation. Yes. That's the cornerstone. And so everything hinges on Jesus, who he is, what he accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. And without him, we've got nothing, absolutely nothing. He is our salvation. So he was God, fully God. He became one of us, and he carried out a plan that God the Father had for him. And that was the role of the Messiah. And in that role, he takes on upon himself three different other roles as well. And one of the things that we see in the Old Testament is that a prophet, was going to arise. So Jesus, as the Messiah, is that prophet. And we see it in the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses is talking to the people, and he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. from your brothers, and it is to him you shall listen. So God is going to put the words of eternal life into his mouth, and we should listen to those words. We see this in, I believe it's John 6, where Jesus is saying to his disciples, you know, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And a lot of the followers dispersed and went away because the teaching was too hard. And Jesus looked at the disciples and said, well, what about you? Are you going to leave as well? And again, Peter said, well, where would we go? Who else has the words of eternal life?
Bingo.
That's exactly right. So Jesus is that prophet we see in the book of Hebrews. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. It's not the law. It's not Correct. The Ten Commandments. It's not the Mosaic Covenant. That wasn't God's final word to man. That was a word to the nation of Israel to order their way of life, to guide them until Jesus came on the scene. So that was a temporary covenant. And if that had been God's final word to man, we'd all be in trouble. Because that word to the people of Israel became a word of condemnation, judgment, and death for the people. Why? Because they couldn't live up to their end of the bargain, and you and I couldn't either. So if that was God's final word to man, we would be toast. But that was a preparation for God's final word, and that final word is Jesus Christ himself. In old times, he spoke through the prophets. Today, he's speaking to us through his Son. So Jesus as Messiah is that prophet that Moses talked about. And we need to listen to him. We see that at his baptism. We see it at the transfiguration when God overpowered the scene. God the Father overpowered the scene. And he said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Both times.
Yes.
And so Jesus is that prophet. And we don't pay enough attention to him, do we?
No, we don't. And if you think about, you know, who is a prophet, fundamentally, the number one job of a prophet was to speak on behalf of God to
yes.
people. Well, who was Jesus if not the voice of God?
Yes.
He described himself. I don't say anything unless the Father gives it to me to say. So in every aspect of his speech, every word he said was a prophetic word because he was representing God the Father to us as humans, and that word still speaks to us. I mean, the best we can do now, describe yourself as a prophet. The best you can do is point to Jesus.
Yes.
Because he is the final word.
Absolutely. And he is the best word God
yes.
has ever given to man, because in him is life. We who were dead in sin can be made alive in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Those are the words of eternal life. So, wow, what a prophet.
Yeah.
Also, as the Messiah, he served as our priest. We see in Psalm 110, verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He wasn't like the Levitical priesthood. Mm-hmm. He was after the order of Melchizedek, an indestructible life. And so he represented God to the people as well. He became that sacrifice that took away our sins once and for all. And because he lives forever, he is always interceding on our behalf. So Jesus is prophet. He is priest. And that's just exciting. He's our advocate.
Yeah.
He's the one speaking on our behalf. And he's the one that is interceding in our hearts and minds to push away the lies that we're getting in this world. So he's keeping us on track. That's what the priest
yes.
was there for.
Yes.
And then he gathers praises from the people and offers them back to God the Father on our behalf.
Yeah. I mean, think about what the priest did. It represented the people, did sacrifices for the people, but had to first sacrifice for himself. Jesus didn't have to sacrifice for himself, and so he sacrificed himself.
Yes.
No other priest could have ever done that.
No.
We could never have imagined that. And As a result, his sacrifice was perfect, just like every aspect of him in the rest of his life was perfect. We're the winners in that case because of what he's done.
Right. So who is Jesus? He's God. He's God in the flesh, but he's fully God, fully human. As a human, he's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He carries out that role of Messiah by being the prophet, by being God's final word to man, the one that brings to us the words of eternal life. He's our priest. He's the one that represents us. He's the one that took care of our sins. He's the one that removed them once and for all, sent them away, and remembers them no more, and presents us to God the Father as holy and blameless in his sight. That's the job of the priest. He's our high priest, and he lives forever. And then the third aspect is that he's king. So prophet, priest, and king. And we see references about, you know, David, that somebody is going to sit on the throne of David forever. So there's numerous prophecies in the Old Testament about that. Well, Jesus is that guy.
Yes.
So when he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the prophet was saying, look, your king enters in on a donkey. And they held him as king. And even Pilate put the sign up on the cross, the king of the Jews. So they recognized him as such. Well, he has come to be king in his kingdom. We were taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and we were placed in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. We see that in the book of Ephesians. Well, who's the king in the kingdom? Jesus, Jesus Christ himself. He's the sovereign Lord. He's the one that we look to. He's the one that we depend upon. And we call him such. So Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We see in the book of Hebrews that the writer says this, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. So Jesus Christ, as Messiah, is our prophet, our priest, and our king.
Indeed he is. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for the study session called The Power of Eight here on Basic Gospel. And friends, in addition to the daily radio program, we love producing resources like this study that you're hearing today, and we can't do it, however, without your help. Richard, just how important is it for our listeners to support Basic Gospel?
Well, how important is it to get the message of Jesus Christ out there to people? I mean, this world is full of messages, all of the vast majority of which are intended to tear people down, to remove them from any idea that there is a God who loves them, and to just get while you, get what you can while you're alive and then die and be done.
Yeah.
I mean, complete hopelessness. We offer an alternative because Jesus is an alternative. I mean, we didn't invent this. He did.
Yeah.
But he gives us the privilege of sharing this message with people. And every time you invest in what we're doing, you're investing in the lives of other people who get saved. That's why it's worth it.
That's why it's worth it. And friends, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net. But now back to this week's study of The Power of Eight. And here's Bob again.
Well, thanks. So who is Jesus? That all-compelling question, who do you say that he is? Well, the Word of God declares that he was God in the flesh. It declares that he is the Messiah. And in that role, we see him as prophet, priest, and king. He's fulfilling all of those prophecies that were talked about in the Old Testament. So when he came on the scene, he carried out all of those functions on our behalf. Now, what does that make him? Well, that makes him our Savior. So this God became our Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. When the angel appeared to Joseph and he's having this conversation about taking Mary to be his wife, he says, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's actually what the name Jesus means. It means a savior. It means to save from sin. And that's the role of the Messiah. He was the prophet. He brought words of eternal life to us. He was the priest. He offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice. He delivered us to God the Father as holy and perfect in his sight. And then he became king in his kingdom. Well, what does that mean? That he's our Savior. Yes. That he has carried out this role, and he has saved us by his grace. And when he saves us, he saves us completely. And talk about good news. Talk about news that brings joy to the heart. This is the news. And it all centers around the person of Jesus Christ. And it's just a beautiful thing to see how the Word of God unfolds the story about Christ himself. It makes him the most compelling personality that has ever been on planet Earth. There is no one that can compare to him, especially when we recognize that he came for us, for our benefit, to release us from the power of sin and death into this kingdom where we can experience freedom, love, grace, mercy, relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So who is Jesus? Wow, that's a loaded question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, think about it. I mean, we've all known prophets that were fake.
Yes.
We've all known priests and ministers who were fake. And we've all known kings that deserved to be deposed and beheaded. That's the human condition. And our problem is that we say, well, this guy must be just like them. No, he's not. He is utterly different than any human that ever came before. And he is the definition of holiness and goodness and love. And if we would just accept that, suspend disbelief for a little bit and say, Jesus, prove to me who you are. He will do that.
Yes, indeed.
Guaranteed.
Yes, indeed. And you may be listening today and you have that question in your mind. Who is this Jesus? I talked to somebody not too long ago, and they had been in church all of their lives and had heard about this man named Jesus, but didn't pay much attention. And they got into a really rough patch, and they said, this Jesus, there's something about him. I got to find out more. And they asked the question, who is this Jesus? And God, in his faithfulness, revealed to them, opened his eyes, this person's eyes, so that they could see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Yes. Christ. Well, Jesus is God. He became one of us. He's the Messiah, God's anointed one, the anointed one to be our Savior. And he did it by being our prophet, our priest, and our king. And so today, as believers in Christ, we have this marvelous privilege of trusting him, turning to him, leaning upon him in all things, and having his life be lived out through us. If you have never come to Jesus, if you have never come to that point in your life where you have received him, let today be the day. This man does not disappoint. Yeah, right. No one will ever be disappointed in trusting Jesus Christ. And you'll have the privilege of saying, God's presence in the person of Jesus Christ is with me every single moment of the day. Amen. And here's what his presence is going to mean to you: rest for the soul and power for the journey.
Wow. Bob and Richard, thank you so much for the great insights in this session 2 of The Power of 8. We'll continue in this study next Friday at the same time, and we hope you'll be here for that, friends. But a quick reminder that if you miss any session, you can hear it when you visit basicgospel.net/teaching. That's the archive, and again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, friends, please prayerfully consider your gift to support Basic Gospel as we bring the fullness of the grace and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to the airwaves and online every day. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we have something special to say thank you for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back on Monday after a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.